So imagine you have a budget for, let's say, home improvements. You've pared it back to the bare bones. You know what you can afford and what you can't. You're not going to spend more than that. Now, cut the budget in half. What stays? What goes? Welcome to MoDOT. I'm Brian Ellison. Today on Central Standard, we'll steer our way through the Missouri transportation budget. How will it get by with just about half as much to spend? And who decides what bridges to fix or potholes to fill when the money's tight? Later, we'll move from roadways to rivers. We'll check in with the Army Corps of Engineers and hear the latest on Missouri river levels and who wants them higher or lower. Will it be for crops or cruises, fish or fowl or flood control? We're taking you through the highways and byways and waterways today on Central Standard after the news. People don't think it's so awful when a government agency has to figure out how to do more with less. Budgets must be balanced. Choices must be made. That's how life works. But what about when the agency in question is the transportation department? What if it's your commute that's getting bumpier or longer? What if it's your highway that's got the potholes and the steel plates? What if it's your bridge going unrepaired? Good morning. Welcome to Central Standard. I'm Brian Ellison. Last week, a bill died in the Missouri Senate that would have put a ballot measure on the next election ballot for a new sales tax to fund road construction. As a result, an already tight budget's getting a whole lot tighter, and we just might notice around here. Here to talk with us about area highway projects in the short and long term is Roberta Breaker. She's the Chief Financial Officer for the Missouri Department of Transportation. She's joining us by phone from Jefferson City. Roberta Breaker, good morning. Welcome to Central Standard.
Good morning, Brian. Thank you.
So, Roberta, you've been Chief Financial Officer of MoDOT since 2005 through Republican and Democratic administrations. In that time, all those years, how have you seen the budget for transportation in the state change?
Well, it has both grown and now it is shrinking. Back in 2004, voters passed Amendment 3. It took funds that used to go to the state's general revenue fund. Those are sales taxes on motor vehicles, and it redirected those to the Department of Transportation. So that gave us an infusion of funds, and we were able to go out and do a lot of great projects around the state. Now those bond proceeds, because we, the way the constitutional amendment was set up, the new money comes to us, but it's used to pay off bonded debt. So we sold bonds, we've built the projects, now we're paying off the debt. So the budget's really shrinking now. Not only, though, because of that, but also simply because people drive less. Fuel is expensive. Cars are more fuel efficient. And about 60% of MoDOT's budget comes from state and federal fuel taxes. So as those revenues are on a downward trend, we see that our budget is shrinking.
So I want to talk more about that decrease and the implications for the budget, but help us put this in context. How big a system are we talking about? How much money does Missouri spend on transportation every year?
Well, our transportation system is huge. We have 33,000 miles of roads in Missouri's system. That's more roads in the state system than Iowa, Nebraska, and Kansas combined. And our budget is just around $2 billion next year, which I recognize sounds like a huge amount of money. But really, when you put it in the perspective of how do you compare us to other states, a way that is typically done is you look at revenue per mile. And if you look at revenue per mile, MoDOT is somewhere in the 40s. Mm-hmm. Of revenue per mile. New Jersey is number one. They have the most revenue per mile of any state. Missouri's down in the 40s somewhere. So you're trying to really do as much as you can with a lesser amount of money spread over a much bigger system.
And what's so different in a situation like New Jersey? How are they putting so much more money toward transportation per mile than Missouri is?
Could be a number of different factors. They have toll roads out there that produces money. A lot of the money that comes to states is from federal funding. So the federal gas tax is 18.4 cents per gallon. Every time you pull up to the pumps, you pay that. That goes to the federal government, and Congress turns around and distributes it back to the states. So
but not in proportion to where it came in.
Not necessarily. No, it's a pretty complicated funding formula. Missouri gets about dollar for dollar back, but there are donor states and donee states, and I'm not really sure where New Jersey is. Maybe they're a donor state or a donee state, rather, and getting more than they put in. And then whatever your state gas tax is. A lot of states have much higher gas taxes at a state level than Missouri does. Missouri's is 17 cents per gallon, has been for more than 20 years. And a lot of states are much higher than that, so that could also be a factor for New Jersey.
Now, where in the budget does this pain, this shrinkage of the budget, get felt? Is it in administrative costs? Is it in construction? Where do we see the decrease?
The biggest decrease is in the construction program itself. Actually, the administrative costs for the Department of Transportation in Missouri are pretty low. We're consistently among the top two or three in terms of least administrative costs of any state DOT. And in the past, 2 years now, we've gone through a pretty extensive downsizing at the department. Our employee count is down about 1,220%. We've closed 130 buildings around the state. We closed three of our district offices. We sold off a lot of pieces of equipment that we no longer needed because we have fewer employees. So we've done a lot of things to downsize our internal operating costs so that in turn we could redirect that to the construction program.
And Roberta, would you characterize those downsizings as good, as helpful streamlining of a system that was inefficient, or would you say there's a penalty, there's a cost to having made those cuts?
I'd say there's some of each. When you talk about closing 130 maintenance buildings around the state, well, those maintenance buildings have been there since the 30s and 40s. They were put in locations when we still used mule teams to build and plow roads. Now when you have the kind of equipment that we have, you don't need nearly as many facilities, and you can do it just as efficiently with fewer facilities. From a people standpoint, certainly that was the hardest part, and I think we're now at the place where we can manage efficiently and effectively, but we're doing it more with the recognition that there are a lot of services that you can go out and contract for when you need them. So you can go contract for engineering services if you need more than you can do with your own staff. So I think it's good for the department. It is an efficiency measure, but it was certainly painful to go through.
Sure. So if administrative costs have already been cut pretty much to the bare bones, then what does that leave to cut?
It leaves actually the construction program. It's the actual building of the roads and the bridges that people are driving on. And MoDOT doesn't do that work with its own workforce. It does it with contract labor. So the big construction companies are the folks that we hire to come and build roads and bridges for us. That is the segment of the budget that continues to shrink as funding becomes less. So I started off talking about having a bonding program at MoDOT, and during the period that we were spending bond proceeds, our construction budget was about $1.2 or $1.3 billion. Bond proceeds being gone and gas taxes continuing to shrink puts us in a position of having a construction program or contractor awards that are more close to maybe $700 million, so about half of what they used to be.
Wow.
And when you hear the news stories about the budget shrinking in half, that's really what you're talking about. It's the actual contracting that we're doing with construction companies to put in the new intersection, to resurface the road, to add another lane, to rebuild a bridge, whatever those things are. That's the part of the budget that continues to shrink.
Now, I there was a state sales tax proposal in the legislature. It would have raised funds not just for the road budget, but also pedestrian and bicycle travel. Would have put a tax on the statewide ballot. It died in the state Senate. It was filibustered there by three of the 34 state senators. How common has it been? Have there been other efforts, or is this the first time that you've seen a breakthrough that would have provided funding fall short that way?
Actually, this is really the first bill that's made it that far. There's been a lot of public discussion, public engagement, really we're talking 3 or 4 years now to get to the point where it appeared to be there was a lot of consensus about what is the solution, because this is not a sales tax for transportation is not something that is typically done. Typically, transportation is funded with your gas tax. It's funded with your license fees when you go and get your driver's license or license your vehicle. It's funded with those sales taxes on a vehicle, but a general sales tax, not typically. And for 5 years now, MoDOT, we could look out, we could predict what the funding was going to be like, and so we've been talking about this significant decrease in the construction program, and the legislature, in response to that, actually set up a couple of study committees. There was a Blue Ribbon Citizens Committee that traveled the state of Missouri last year. It was set up by Speaker Tilley and then wrapped up under Speaker Jones, and it met in 7 locations around the state, had 22 business leaders on the committee, and they really went all over the state and asked people 2 questions. What are the transportation needs, and then how do you think we should pay for it? And really, as a part of that discussion, what bubbled up was this discussion of a 1 cent sales tax. For whatever reason, gas tax seems to have a really onerous feel for the driver, and to produce the same amount of money that a 1 cent sales tax would, you'd have to increase the gas tax by 25 cents. So that was really a non-starter. All of these efforts, though, led to a couple of senators and some representatives proposing this 1 cent sales tax bill, and it made it a long way. It made it all the way through the Senate once, through the House, and then as you pointed out, was filibustered when it had to go back to the Senate because it had been amended in the House, and then ultimately died at the end of the session. So it was something that we felt had a lot of support around the state because of the engagement processes that we watched play out over the last 5 years.
And Ruud, I want to make sure I heard you correctly. 1 cent sales tax increase would raise the equivalent of a 25 cents a gallon gas tax? Did I understand that correctly? Well, I've either stunned Roberta into silence or we've lost her. Looks like we've lost her, so we're going to work hard to get her back on the air. I hope it wasn't the question. I don't think it was too shocking. But let me ask our audience to be part of the conversation here. In fact, let's ask the question that Roberta Braker just said that was asked around the state at these listening sessions. What should the state's top priorities for transportation be? What do you want to see money spent on? And then the other part of the question, how do you think it should be paid for? Call us at 816-235-2888. Share your thoughts on transportation. Kansas callers are welcome to call as well, because obviously both states are facing similar funding crises. 816-235-2888. You can also email us at centralstandard@kcur.org. Roberta Braker from the Missouri Department of Transportation is with us here on Central Standard on KCUR. Roberta, are you back?
Yes, I am.
Sorry about that. I was just confirming that I'd understood correctly. A 1 cent sales tax increase would raise the same amount of revenue as a 25 cents per gallon gas tax increase?
That's correct.
Wow, that's a very significant fact. I guess I'm curious, we've been talking about how there's less money available for projects. Can you be specific about what projects, some projects that will not be funded as a result of this budget being trimmed almost by half?
Well, it's not even so much what we're not going to do because of this. There are a tremendous number of unfunded needs in Missouri, and it really goes beyond roads and bridges. Right now, the funding that MoDOT receives is by constitution and state law dedicated to roads and bridges. One of the great things about the 1 cent sales tax was that it was not so entailed. It could have been used for all forms of transportation. So it could have been used for transit, for ports, for rail, for waterways, for air. It could have been used for everything. And that would have been a really great thing for the Department of Transportation and for the citizens, more importantly, because those are the folks that use the transportation infrastructure. In the Kansas City area, there are are certainly some big projects that are on the radar of the of that part of the state and that have been for a number of years, that simply there aren't the funds to do it. And it's not so much about the shrinking budget, it's just that the budget is not large enough, even without shrinking, to accomplish those. One of those I know about is the I-435 from Three Trails Crossing, or I guess what's commonly called the Triangle, over to the Kansas state line. That carries about 140,000 vehicles per day and could stand with some improvements. The estimated cost of that is somewhere in the neighborhood of $60 to $75 million. So the Kansas City region would benefit from that, but there aren't funds to do it. There's been discussion of improvement in the downtown area from I-70 over to I-470. That carries about 110,000 vehicles per day. The cost of that improvement would be $150 to $200 million. And then I-29 from Armour Road up to I-635, that carries 90,000 cars a day. The estimated cost of that improvement is somewhere to $60 to $90 million. And those are just the road projects that we know are on the list of things that are desired, but they're significant. There isn't the funding to do it. I know that there's a lot of discussion in the Kansas City area about transit needs, the desire for light rail, the desire for the downtown streetcars. You hear a lot about the improvements that folks would like to make at KCI. No state funding really available for that. The Kansas City port, the good things that could be done from an interconnected freight aspect if improvements were made there. And then bike and pedestrian facilities. You always hear about the desire for bike and pedestrian attachments to bridges, for example. And then just the things that you can do to get people more active. And again, funding just not there. So there are sure. lots and lots of needs.
Sure. Let's take a call from one of our listeners. He called us at 816-235-2888. This is Paul in Independence. Paul, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well, thanks.
All right. So my question is that when the department had a good inflow of money, were there any projects that were done just to spend the money, just because they had the budget and just because the money was available? Were there any projects done just to spend the money? And the second part of my question is then, can this unnecessary spending be eliminated? And how does the department focus on where the money needs to be spent?
Okay, so good question. Paul's wondering how was money just being spent because there was money to spend? And when you do have money, how do you decide which are the priorities?
Well, we don't spend money just to spend it. Taxpayers do not voluntarily, of course, turn over tax money. And as I was trying to explain, the needs are so great. The lists of things that people tell us they want done are enormously longer than there are funds available to do it. So we work very collaboratively with our local planning partners to help pick the best project for the limited funding that's available. In the Kansas City region, that tends to be the Mid-America Regional Council, MARC, and we work with the people on the MARC board to say, okay, here's the money that is coming to the Kansas City region. Help us prioritize the projects that need to be done.
So
and
you,
it's
you
been
divvy
very
it up,
successful.
I'm sorry to interrupt. You divvy it up by region and then set priorities within each region.
Exactly.
And how do you decide when how do you weigh the different considerations? Is it traffic flow? Is it safety? Is it new construction? Is it maintenance? Is there a set of criteria, or is it always case by case?
There is criteria, and safety weighs very highly. Congestion mitigation weighs very highly. Economic development, because sometimes a company is talking about coming to your region if you build an interchange so that we can get to the new plant. Right now, though, when you're talking about a smaller budget, it becomes much more weighted toward and focused on maintenance of the existing system. So you don't want people driving on rough roads. You don't want them driving on bridges that they don't feel confident about. So much more and more of the budget becomes dedicated exclusively to maintaining what you have and not to building that next interchange for economic development, for example.
You know, I'm thinking about how tight this budget is and having to make choices between projects and sort of the bare bones level you're talking about operating on. And then I'm thinking about the train derailment last week in southeastern Missouri, which collapsed a highway overpass, as it turns out. If you've got a budget that's so tight that you're choosing between projects that are all good and important, and then you get an emergency situation like that come along, what do?
You go put up a new bridge, and something else gets to wait.
Yeah.
You have to slide a project out and delay it in order to get the system working again.
Are there any bridges in Missouri right now that are deemed actually in a dangerous condition? I'm thinking about the I-5 collapse in Washington State last week as well, where a truck hitting a span causes a section of bridge to fall in the river. Are there any dangerous situations in Missouri right now?
We do not leave any bridge open that we believe to be dangerous. There are bridges that, as I believe the one in Washington was, there are certainly bridges where the clearance isn't what you would hope it would be. They were built many years ago, and they aren't large enough to accommodate some of the oversized loads that you see today. And that's what you saw in Washington. We have bridges like that as well, and you see signs on them. They'll say that they're load posted for height or they're load posted for how much weight they can carry. But no bridge in Missouri stays open if we believe it to be unsafe, and every bridge is inspected.
We're talking with Roberta Braker from the Missouri Department of Transportation. What are your questions about the state's priorities for funding transportation needs? You can call us at 816-235-2888. Cindy in Smithville, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi, good morning. How are you guys?
Doing great.
Good. I just wanted to issue a thank you for the bridges that got repaired in rural Platte County up around Smithville on 92 Highway. They were some of the scariest bridges to teach my children to drive on. They were very, very narrow, and as you drove across them, you could see that they were crumbling. And they finally, we've lived up here for 20 years, and when those bridges were replaced, it was the biggest relief to not go down that highway and see a giant truck coming at you and know that you barely had room to squeeze by. And so thank you to MoDOT for getting those bridges repaired. I appreciate it very much.
There you go. A word of thanks, Roberta.
I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
We actually did that under a program called Safe and Sound, and we replaced 802 of the state's bridges under that program.
Wonderful. Thank you so very much.
Thanks. You're welcome.
Thanks for your call, Cindy. Let's talk to Jeff in downtown Kansas City. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. I understand that Missouri is behind in its subsidy payments to Amtrak to keep its trains running between Kansas City and St. Louis, and possibly might be in danger of losing that service. I wondered if you could discuss that, and I'll take my answer off the air.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. Roberta, rail transit, part of the transportation program?
Yes, it is, but it's funded by state general revenue. So because transportation user fees are dedicated only to roads and bridges, we have to go to the legislature to get the appropriations for the Amtrak process. We are in arrears, the gentleman is correct, about $3 million worth. And this year, the legislature gave us and appropriated an additional $1 million to help pay down that arrearage. We talked to Amtrak a lot. We're not the only state that is in arrears, and I'm not anticipating that we're going to lose service. It's an improving service, actually, in the state. We've, through federal funds, been able to eliminate a lot of the bottlenecks along the route from Kansas City to St. Louis and improve the on-time delivery of passengers. And it still enjoys a pretty good support in the legislature, but every year it is discussed about the amount of that Amtrak subsidy. So we've gotten the base subsidy again this year and $1 million to help with the arrearage, and we're very hopeful that the service will continue in the state.
Thanks, Jeff, for that call. Let's take one more from Alan in Blue Springs. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. Yeah, my question is, I heard earlier that Missouri has more road miles or lane miles than Iowa, Nebraska, and Kansas combined. I was just curious why we have so many more lane miles than other states, and I'll take my comment off the air.
Well, it's a good question. Why do we have so many roads, Roberta?
Actually, it goes back to the 50s when there was a statewide campaign to increase the state's gas tax by, it was either a penny or 2 pennies. And in exchange for that penny or 2 pennies of gas tax, all of the letter routes in the state, so you're driving down Route P, Route ZZ, whatever that may be, came into the state system. In most other states, those are local roads. So that's why Missouri's state system is so much larger than other states.
Interesting. Thanks for that call, Alan. One more question, Roberta. I know that there's a beyond just the year-to-year planning for which roads, which bridges to repair, there's actually a long-term planning effort going on called On the Move. Where is that, and what are you hearing as you listen around the state to what people want from transportation?
It's moving along very well, move ahead. We are in the stage of still gathering data. And we're hearing as people's number one priority that they want us to maintain the system we have. But then after they tell us that, we've gotten just the complete range of different kinds of projects, from road and bridge projects to projects in all the other modes of transportation that they'd like to have, better facilities to increase capacity to adding another rail line. You know, I'd like to be able to have a railroad that went between Kansas City and Springfield, for example.
Sure.
So you just hear all kinds of things that people are interested in. It's a great discussion, and it's going really well. We hope we're going to wrap it up by this fall.
Well, we'll put a link on our website to your website so folks can get involved in that if they want to. Roberta Braker is the Chief Financial Officer from the Missouri Department of Transportation, and she joined us from her office in Jefferson City. Roberta, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Brian. It was great.
When we come back, we'll move from the highways to the waterways. Specifically, what will the year hold for our friend, the longest river in America? The fishing, the farming, the federal regulations, that's our summer snapshot of the Missouri River. It's coming up after the break, so stay with us. I'm Brian Ellison, and you're listening to Central Standard on KCUR.